Thank you for joining us at the OT Corner with Mrs. K. Please note this podcast does not intend to offer medical advice or therapeutic treatment for any medical condition for either yourself or others. If you have any medical or rehabilitation concerns for yourself or your child, please contact your physician. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the OT Corner with Mrs. K., a school-based occupational therapist bringing you a series of interviews and information on childhood development for kids with all different abilities. So get ready, get set, let's go.
Hi, this is Mrs. K from the OT Corner. Thanks for joining me today. Super excited to have my very first guest at the OT Corner today. His name is Bob Sirianni. He is a friend of mine that I have known for over 20 years. I actually met him pretty much right out of OT school. I had been working for about 6 or 8 months the time I met him. And the weird thing is I had found myself as the rehab director at this facility I was working at and was in dire need of a speech therapist. It was really difficult to hire them at the time. And Bob worked for a contract agency that I found and brought Bob in, and he really saved me because he took care of all of the speech referrals. Not only that, he did all of my quarterly screenings for me for the speech department and really got that speech department up and running. Not only that, he brought one of his therapists in as a permanent member of our department, and she became one of my dear friends. And at any rate, Bob now works in higher education. He is the chair and program director and associate professor in the Department of Speech Language Pathology at Salis University in Philadelphia. His primary role is in administration, in addition to teaching and clinical supervision roles. Prior to joining the faculty at Salis in 2014, Bob held clinical and leadership roles for a variety of healthcare providers. He has vast experience in acute care, rehab, and home health for the adult and geriatric populations, as well as pediatric care, and he's done this at a local and international level. His research interests include clinical supervision and interprofessional education and practice in the field of speech-language pathology, and as well as neurological communication and swallowing disorders, including telepractice applications. I've seen Bob in action, and he is a spectacular speech therapist. After earning his master's degree in speech-language pathology from Loyola University in Maryland, Bob relocated back to his hometown of Philadelphia to practice. He holds a certificate of clinical competence from the American Speech-Language Hearing Association and is licensed to practice in Pennsylvania. In addition to achieving specialty certification in the areas of voice and dysphagia, Bob is currently pursuing a doctoral degree in higher education at Temple University in his spare time, focusing on underrepresented groups in graduate education. Without further ado, let's introduce and welcome Mr. Bob Sirianni. Hello, this is Mrs. K from the OT Corner, and today I have a special guest, Bob Sirianni, and we're going to be discussing what we call a collaborative model in the preschool setting for delivering services with all the different disciplines that are circling around your child. And Bob has a really good model that I'm excited to talk to him about today. And so, Bob, can you just let us know a little bit about yourself and how you came to Salis University and a little bit about this course, too, that you have that's offered to your speech pathology students?
Thanks, Mrs. K, or Jennifer. I've been a practicing SLP for, more than 25 years at this point. My focus has always been the medical setting, but across the lifespan. So I've worked with the very young through the very old. As time went on, I really felt like my calling had switched from being a direct provider to working in academia with students who were to become direct providers. You know, a little altruistically, I thought that I could impact more lives by working with the next generation or generations of speech language pathologists than I could with just my own sort of two hands out in the field. I live just about two towns over from Salus in Pennsylvania, and saw an advertisement that they were hiring for a faculty position. Gosh, now 2014, I think it was the first year I started here, and made the transition. I'd like to say seamlessly, but maybe it was a little bit more of a learning gap, really because I was brand new to university life and needed to learn the rules and regulations of graduate program and how, not necessarily how to teach, but how to really structure courses. Being in a program from basically the ground up, I started before the students even arrived to the program. We were really able to take a look at what both the profession required for education and what the practice required of those coming out into the field. And I spent some time reflecting about really how I saw me as a practitioner and how we worked as a team and how we moved from a student or client or patient-centered focus and was able to really create a curriculum that spoke to what practitioners will need once they graduate.
So you were really, you started this program. You were like part of, oh, that's awesome. That's excellent.
Yeah, my focus. So there was already a department chair here, and she focused mainly on the coursework. And my job was to build the clinical experiences for the students. We collaborated a lot across both the classroom and the clinic work for the training, because we wanted to make sure that students knew that what we were learning in the classroom was to be used in the clinic, and what we were using in the clinic was backed up by the theories that we learned in the classroom. And it really became a dynamic process, because we would discover something like interprofessional education and try to figure out how that fit into the bigger picture of the program that we were developing.
Excellent. So currently, can you kind of explain how services are currently delivered in, like, well, we'll start in the preschool setting, because that's what we're talking about this year. I know, but for me, I'm an occupational therapist. I work a lot in the preschool, and I do collaborate, like I said, with the physical therapist and the speech therapist, but it's really tough sometimes to get into the classroom, push in, which is really, honestly, as an OT, that's where I would love to be more so. So can you explain a little bit how the current model works?
Sure, absolutely. So the way our systems, both our healthcare system and our educational system, really has moved to what we call that patient-centered or that student-centered care, where the person who needs our services sort of sits in the middle of all the care providers, and we come, for lack of a better word, at them from our general perspective. So in preschools that are traditionally guided by the IEP, the Individualized Education Plan, we've identified an issue, a problem, a disorder that requires our care, and then we delineate who's going to be the best person to address that problem. So in my field, it might be a language delay. So the speech pathologist is going to come in and do their evaluation and identify strengths and gaps or challenges or deficits, depending on what word you sort of feel most comfortable using. But those areas of concern are then transported onto the plan. And then who's in charge of those goals is delineated in the plan. So I know with certain diagnoses, let's say cerebral palsy, that child is going to have a variety of care providers on that plan, the physical, the occupational, the speech therapists, might have a special educator, may have somebody in charge of assisted technology. But it's really that plan is parsed out to the individuals as assigned on the plan.
And it's, what do you like for speech? How do you think like this kind of collaborative model? First of all, we probably should go into the collaborative model, what that actually is, and then how that actually affects the access to education for a student.
Yeah, I totally agree. So again, if we sort of look at the way care is typically provided, it's goal, practitioner, and there's an assignment between those two. Under a collaborative model, there are goals, because obviously we've done evaluations and identified areas of concern, but those goals aren't individually parsed out to a practitioner. So there may be speech goals, there may be occupational therapy goals, there may be education goals, but it isn't assigned necessarily to the speech therapist, to the OT, or to the teacher. In a collaborative model, those goals start as a goal as developed by the OT, for example. But in shared or collaborative practice, we then are addressing that goal holistically. So I might be trained by the OT to look at, say, seating, for example. So I might be in the classroom. Again, I completely agree with you. I'd much rather not be in the hallway or the music room. I want to be in the classroom with the teacher, with the other students in that functional environment to apply the goals. But I'm also looking at when I do my language activity, so maybe we're sitting at the table and we're reading a book together, I'm also concerned about how the child is sitting in the chair, because you've addressed that goal. You've cross-trained me, so to speak, to make sure that, you know, hips are in 90 degree and that feet are tucked under or whatever sort of the plan is for this child to keep them steadied. While I'm paging through looking at vocabulary or talking about how do you read a book or, what's going on next, all the fun things that speech therapists get to do when we do a book, and vice versa. So when you go in and you're maybe addressing handwriting and you've got this sheet that you're working on, you're also going to look at the language goals and making sure that any of the tips and tricks or techniques that I, as a speech pathologist, has sort of targeted as the most appropriate or the most sort of functional way to get this child to meet the goals, you're also doing it in your session. So even in the most perfect world, I'm sitting on one side of the table and you're sitting on the other side of the table and the teacher's over sort of like keeping one eye on us, and we're all sort of doing it at the same time. Again, it's a little bit different than the co-treatment model, which would be, you know, Jennifer, the OT, sitting there and really just addressing her issues, and Bob, the speech therapist, sitting on the other side and just sort of looking at his narrow columns. And then we both sort of go off and make our own documentation and reports to the teacher and to the parent. This is, we're all sort of one big happy family, and we're all focused on the same goals almost simultaneously under this collaborative practice model.
So with data collection, would we be collecting data for each other too? Would there be like data sheets too? Like,
correct. Yeah, we would really be reporting off to one another. So one of the things we do in our program is to teach the students these four pillars or these four core competencies in interprofessional education. So first we start with roles and responsibilities, sort of like, what is your practice? What are you responsible for? And what are others responsible for? So by knowing your own area of practice and what others might be doing around the table with the child, allows you to know who's your go-to people when you run into something. We also have to have shared values and ethics. So everyone sort of has to appreciate the environment they're in. You have to have a good knowledge of what the preschool classroom is supposed to look like. What's the curriculum? Do you both sort of agree that the collaborative model is the best way to move forward in this care? Again, you might meet a child that you want to work with and you really just need a quiet, corner to work on those goals to really get the work done. So collaboration across other professions might not be appropriate for everybody. So we all sort of sit around when we're creating this plan and say, yes, we agree that this is the best way to approach it. And our kids that have multiple disabilities typically do better when we're coming at them at different directions in a very coordinated, almost scientifically designed way in order to make sure that we're maximizing the amount of time that we're there and that the overlap makes sense. The other thing we spend a lot of time in the classroom is discussing communication. So that goes back to that data collection. We might tell each other the information, and you might instruct me to sort of put that in my note because that's going to be important for the IEP team to see at the next meeting, for example. Or you might be able to say, I'm glad that I'm seeing this goal sort of moving forward. I'm going to come in and do some data collection and some reassessment to see if I can expand the goal or introduce a new layer. And finally, working as a team, we're explicit instructing the students on how do you be a good team player. So this theory of team and teamwork really sits around how do you sometimes lead and how do you sometimes follow and how do you advocate and how do you back off? So that understanding those four competencies will then allow them to go out to schools, hospitals, even a multi-practice where you know, maybe psychology, social work, speech, OT all work together. Doesn't matter who's around the table. The idea is that, again, they're all sort of focused on the child in the center and working around that. I give the image of sort of a bike wheel. So think about the child is in the center of the wheel and the practitioners are each a spoke that moves away. So we don't just go in and out on those tire spokes. We're really a circle. We're really going around the circle, around the child continuously. And if you keep that image in mind, if parents think about like, here's my whole team, my kid's in the middle of this team, and how does the information go in and out and also around the circle? I think that makes for a stronger team that collaborates and hopefully moves the child and the family along the IEP more quickly, more efficiently.
Now, with this particular type of curriculum that you provide at Salus, is this given at any other of the speech language pathology programs, or is this something new? I personally, you know, when I was in OT school, which was a long time ago, honestly, I mean, I don't ever really remember talking about this. I really don't. I remember about what my frameworks were, where I'm coming from. But is this something new and all these, allied health professions, or is this something new?
It is newer. It's definitely a philosophical flip from previous. So we think back in our olden days, we used to call it interdisciplinary or multidisciplinary. So again, there's some isolation in those ways to approach habilitation or rehabilitation. But this collaborative practice model, I wish I would say that Salus is the most cutting edge program out there. We see it more and more. It's being driven by a couple of, I'll call them motivators. One is payer systems are moving to more like looking at outcomes. And we know that the team approach has the best kind of outcomes. There's also a push from the people who accredit graduate programs, that are saying like, hey, we know this is best practice, so we want to see you instituting it in your programs so that the practitioners know what to do once they become, you know, once they're out in the field. So we right now our students are really learning the skills that you and I had to learn in the moment, in the job, as we had clients and patients and students sitting in front of us. the students that are graduating now come out in the field and are that much further down the pike than we were, because we've given those them that time to practice in their educations, mm-hmm. so that when they do hit the preschool and they pick up that IEP, they know, okay, this is the team I'm working with, and this is how we're going. We're not going to parse this out. It's not just going to be the PT's problem to address. We're going to go to the PT, you and I as the OT in speech, and say, okay, how do we adapt this activity while I'm doing my stuff and you're doing your stuff, so that we're all doing the same work at the same time? Again, we know that our legislative bodies are giving us less and less dollars. Mm-hmm. Our employers are giving us less and less time to address the goals. So we need to be really quick, really efficient. And guess what? If we only have 15 minutes each to address it, how smart would that be if it, in that 15 minutes, you're doing a little bit of speech and I'm doing a little bit of OT? I'm not an OT. I don't want to be an OT. I love being speech pathologist. And I'm sure that's why you picked to be an OT, because speech pathology didn't speak to you. We are not relinquishing our professional roles and our scopes of practice, but we're just addressing things not in isolation, because we know that that doesn't work, especially in our schools that are very interactive, that are, you know, in the moment. Like, again, would it be great for me to do reading out in the hallway? No, I want to do reading in the circle with the teacher. So mm-hmm. the teacher, when I'm not there, has seen how I pose the question or how I cued the child. You know, wouldn't that be great if you're working on fine motor, how do you hold a crayon or use the scissors? And you sort of get the teacher to come over and say, this is the best way for X to happen. Mm-hmm. And while you're not there, the other 4.5 days of preschool, the teacher is then picking up the goals and addressing them. And it sort of makes so much sense that why doesn't everybody do it? It's just really hard, really hard to be thoughtful when they're so, you know, you got to get to the next kid. You got to get to the next school.
Yeah,
true. You know, yeah. And I think that that's that pressure. But if we take a moment, if we're smart about how we sit around the table when it's time to develop that IEP, that we really listen to our families when they say these are our chief concerns and these are the goals that we want to address. The team is given a roadmap. And I think you had mentioned before, like, you really collaborate strongly with that PT. Mm-hmm. Well, you're there already. You've already sort of, like, you know each other's strengths and maybe challenges, so that you can pick up where she leaves off and vice versa. And I think that that just makes for a smart way to address the needs of the kids that were assigned.
I agree. And I think that I've been doing a lot of, I was asked to do a couple, I met with a teacher who's the literacy teacher at one of my schools. And it was kind of interesting because I think that when we come from those spokes, like you were talking about, we kind of lose sight that, well, oh my gosh, they should know this. Shouldn't they know this? But mm-hmm. no, they don't, because that's not their training. And, you know, she was asking me a lot about handwriting, and I have this really nice handout that I use to kind of educate parents. And I brought it to her, and she was like, oh, this is great. I've never, like, really thought about all the things that go into handwriting, which mm-hmm. is super complex. And, she really appreciated it. And I, you know, kind of put a bug in her ear, like, I'm available to to come in and sit with you guys. And I have a couple of kiddos in this classroom on caseload. It would benefit them. And then I'm also have eyes and ears open for what else I'm looking, you know, because sometimes people don't flag kids.
Yep.
That I see that I'm like, I think that they might need something. I don't know. But in the preschool setting, have you had students come in and, like, develop a program like this? And how did it work, and how did it benefit the student?
Yeah, we've done a couple of really neat activities. SALIS is a small graduate program here in Pennsylvania. So we're not part of a state system. We're not like a large research institution. So there's a little bit more flexibility and creativity in our programs. So we actually had recently had some research published around an interprofessional collaborative practice task that had worked on buttons and zippers through a literacy activity. So the team of OT students and speech students had a whole sort of like morning planned out. And kids were pre-tested, like what were their baseline skills. They did a couple of shared activities that were fine motor in sort of its goals. They did a reading activity that was all about a bear getting dressed in the morning and how the fasteners. Then they went back to the activities table and had actually some practice buttons and zippers, and they moved around stations. You know, in preschool, we love the stations, move the stations. And then at the end of the day, they did post-testing and they saw a significant difference. So obviously there was only a few students in a classroom of like, I think there were 18 or maybe 15 students. So they had to sort of train one another on this is the way you instruct someone on how to use a fastener. The speech pathologist talked to the OTs about language and vocabulary and how do you sort of highlight it without, you know, being so obvious, but being reading naturally. And so we really had this exciting data that said, and of course we said it was because we were so exceptional in the activity, but it really spoke to how just a few people got the project accomplished. And again, there was a lot of planning that went into it. It was not like it just sort of like happened, but I can see that happening with somebody. If we were sort of the same team working with the same set of kiddos, that we could really just share that. The other project that we did was a summer camp, and it was with a little bit older kids, mostly elementary school. But we added the component of visual impairment. So there's a local school that is for children who are visually impaired, and they were doing an extended year camp for the students so that they could continue to address their IEP goals and the standards. So our OT students and our SLP students went in with teachers of the visually impaired and orientation and mobility students. And again, really collaborated on activities and how they had to give verbal instructions, for example, on this one activity because the students couldn't sort of obviously see the written instructions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the SLP spent a lot of time about how do you give directions. The SLPs were really novice at making sure that things were all auditory, and the teachers of the visually impaired really did a great job of like, okay, great. Now you have to make sure that you can describe this picture in a way that a person who can't see the picture has access to that information. So by giving these authentic, like in the community experiences to students, they can then go out and, you know, maybe identically replicate it, but definitely take away the ideas in their learning to put into practice.
I absolutely love the bear idea with the buttons and everything. That is just spectacular. I love it. That is really a really neat idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have you back.
Okay.
I'll come back because I know we just talked about some stuff in the preschool, but this is like such a really interesting topic. And I'm actually thinking of trying to do something like that. Like I know it's going to take a lot of planning, but and I'd like to be able to tell you, like, you know, how it went. But I love the self-help stuff because, in fact, it's funny. Today we had an IEP and ETR meeting for a couple preschoolers, And the preschool teacher was like coming to me with all these questions. And I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if I just came into the classroom and like helped you out during. I have another preschool teacher that actually we do a lot of crafts together with the kids we have. And it's nice because I get a ton of information and I can help them and show them how to do things. So I'm kind of already doing it, but I think that like you're, I think that this whole, that's just us. You know what I mean? I think there's a whole other set of disciplines that need to come into the picture as well, but.
Absolutely. And I think that those, so those teachable moments, I call them, like you're working with the teacher, you're educating the teacher on what your role and responsibility is, what is sort of understood as where the child should be functioning or the range in which a child should function. So if it falls outside of that, she now knows that you're the go-to person that really helps trigger the assessments that need to be done and the parent education. I really appreciate sort of your goals in this podcast to educate your community and the parents. And I think that they sometimes need to be the driver at the table saying like, I see my whole child. I don't see the speech goals. I don't see the OT goals. I see little Johnny or little Sally. And that child is whole in their mind and not the individual goals on the IEP. So I encourage your listeners to really think about this. How can I get the group to collaborate? I think the magic has to happen in these IEP meetings with our families and the practitioners around the table, thinking about what's best for this child to make sure that they can move as efficiently through our education system as possible.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to have you back. And I think my next season, I'm going to be moving up through the grades here. I'm starting in the preschool, which I love to be in. I love all the kids, but I love being with the little ones. I see so much change so quickly. I think that's why it's so, fascinating to me. They just learn so quickly. So I will definitely have you back and we'll talk about how this looks like in the elementary systems and elementary grades and even moving up into the junior high. Sure. Well, they call it middle school these days and high school. Okay.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you for listening to the OT Corner with Mrs. K. Feel free to join the OT Corner community by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you have a topic you want to hear about, or if you would like to come on the show, feel free to contact Jennifer at theotcorner.com. We would love to hear from you. All information from the show is listed in the episode notes. We know you can listen to anyone, so we appreciate you stopping by. Until next time, thanks again.